will satisfy you. Then even if you're not satisfied there, at least spend a little time there, because it'll help you become a little more qualified. But then he says, actually, you know, your goal is love for the Lord of the Gopis, love which follows the love of Vrindavan, and which is only attained by the complete mercy. So he says, now try and catch this, it's interesting. So the thing is, to get that love, you have to get the Lord's complete mercy. Some get that mercy causelessly, and some get it by sadhana. And the only difference is that a donor, someone who's giving you something, may give you a cooked meal or give you the ingredients and the means to cook it. That's all. That's the difference. Of course, generally, one gets the mercy of the Lord not simply causelessly, like just walking along and all of a sudden you're on the level of prema. That's what Prabhupada called getting the honorary degree in the university. Normally it doesn't work that way. Normally you have to go through the process. But to encourage, Gopakumar Narada says that there's no real difference. It's only the difference between getting a cooked meal and the method for getting a cooked meal, the ingredients and the various equipment and all that. Narada says, this goal of prema in the mood of viewing the Supreme Lord like a close friend in the ordinary world is achieved by having a strong desire to serve the Lord in the manner of his gopa and gopi devotees after overcoming the obstacles on one's path that arise from fear and so on. So what does that mean? After overcoming the obstacles on one's path that arise from fear and so on, means after you've overcome the obstacles of your own conditioning and you've become, delivered from all that, from material existence, and you've actually come to the devotional platform, liberated devotional platform. So you have to come to that point of being attracted to serving the Lord or befriending the Lord, actually. Just like the cowherd boys or just like the gopis, in that mood, you have to become attracted to that after having got out of Maya, basically. So he says, in the beginning you have to practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, concentrating on hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord and his pastimes. You can come to the level of prema if you do this in the association of devotees who value this practice, and two things. In the association of devotees who value the practice, and in a suitable place, particularly Vrindavan, in fact, he says. And he says, as you develop prema in this way, you must try very hard to keep it concealed. Don't tell anyone. Don't hint. Just like we mentioned the other day, some devotees, they act as if they're conditioned to hide their exalted positions sometimes. just like Gorky Shordas Babaji Maharaj. Sometimes he would dress up very fancy, very sort of extravagant clothes and ornaments and perfumes, and just like, you know, some really kind of way out enjoyer. And he would go to the house of the famous prostitute and sit on a chair on the veranda by the street very prominently and wave to people and call out to them as they walked past to make sure that they noticed him, to hide his position. So this process is far more effective than karma, jnana, or yoga. At all stages, it is decorated with unconditional dedication. And it has a foundation. Oh, this is very important. Its foundation is utter humility. Utter humility. So let us just read what Narada says. He says just a few interesting things about humility. Dainya. Dainya means humility. Dainya, humility, is defined by wise men as that by which one always thinks of oneself as exceptionally incapable and lowly, even when one is endowed with all excellences. An intelligent person should take care to cultivate that speech, that behavior, and that way of thinking by which he becomes firmly fixed in utter humility. And he should avoid everything that stands in the way of its development. The highest degree of dainya, humility, manifests when pure love of God reaches its full maturity, as when the women of Gokula experienced separation from Krishna. When the gopis experienced separation from Krishna, they became humble, or they manifested extreme humility. So this is a very important point. Don't underestimate this point. He's already said that this is the foundation. There are two things. There's unconditional dedication, just absolute surrender to the process. And it's based on utter humility. So when that humility becomes mature, prema becomes mature. So humility and prema are the cause and effect of each other. So that's basically what he says. You know, in a nutshell, that's the whole process for approaching Goloka or seeing Krishna in Gokula. So then Narada explains the experiences, what it's like to have prema, what the people go through. He says it's like the nectarian waters of the Yamuna, but simultaneously it burns like the flames of a fire. It makes poison nectar and nectar poison. Death becomes happiness. Life is an expansion of misery. Those devotees cannot tell the difference between meeting and separation. And therefore they experience great ecstasy and great suffering. They become mad. And he says these ecstatic symptoms, these extreme symptoms like what we've just mentioned, they have to be there. Otherwise, prema would be like spinach without salt. Or a feast for someone who has no appetite. Or like studying scriptures without being able to understand them at all. Or like a garden full of trees which give no fruit whatsoever. It doesn't really mean that there is prema without these things, but it just means that these are just natural parts of prema, this madness and all this extraordinary, most extraordinary experience, different extraordinary experiences. So then Narada starts talking about the love that the gopis have. When Krishna left Vrindavan, they attained a state which was worse than the fire of devastation. And he says, please, I beg you, don't ask me about this. Do not try to delve into this matter. He feels they may both become too overwhelmed. He says, if you ever meet Srimati Radharani, watch the way she acts, or ask her about it, and she may explain it to you. Then you may understand. That's going to happen just now, shortly. So, the bottom line is, Gopakumar needs to meet the gopis to really get it clear. In other words, Narada is saying that whatever I can tell you, it's just like a drop. And to really get a dose of it, you're going to have to meet them and see them and speak with them and just in this way directly perceive. Or alternatively, what could be an alternative? If maybe there is a special incarnation of the Lord who gives that love, then you might be able to understand it. So, you know, this of course is, all these discussions are going on long time before Lord Chaitanya. But it's interesting that Narada is referring to Lord Chaitanya. So now, the final section. Narada Muni instructs Gopakumar to go back to Gokula, and then he can become successful. So Uddhava says, why don't we have him go back to Jagannath Puri? Because it's not quite the same. There isn't the same mood of separation because the deity is there. So there's not quite the same mood of separation. The deity is there and there are a lot of festivals. So it's not going to help him develop the same dainya. That humility can only really develop when there's separation. So Uddhava, after just briefly suggesting maybe he should go to Jagannath Puri, says, no, he'd better not go to Jagannath Puri. Just have him go back to Gokula. You understand what happened there? He half suggests that he go back to Jagannath Puri. But then he says, no, if he goes, he won't develop that humility. Because, you know, it's kind of, not superficially, but there's a blissful, festive mood which may cover over things in such a way that that humility, that mood of separation, which stimulates humility, it'll not be able to develop in the same way. So he should go to Vrindavan, where all the devotees are looking for Krishna. In other words, there is just a natural current of separation amongst all the devotees in Vrindavan. A natural mood of separation, and in this way, this will help Gopakumar. So, then Narada speaks again. And he says, you know, he compliments Uddhava and tells Gopakumar, you are about to become successful. And I knew it was going to happen. From long ago, I knew it was going to happen. Because I could see you were so attached to Madan Gopal, even when you were in all the other places and you got the darshan of those other forms of the Lord, but you always stayed distressed. He says, this was the Lord's mercy on you, just to increase your desire. In other words, what has been happening? It has been a conspiracy all along. It has been a conspiracy. And Narada has been part of the conspiracy. Narada and the Lord have been conspiring to gradually get Gopakumar to come to the point where he'll finally really be able to approach Goloka or become qualified to see Krishna in Gokula. Otherwise, if it were not like that, how could you have been distressed in those places if you weren't very qualified? And how could you have remained ignorant in those places if the Lord had not been merciful to you and allowed you to remain ignorant so you would be kind of impelled on every time and not just settle down there? So Narada tells Gopakumar, you should go back to Gokula and you'll become successful. Gopakumar says, okay, let me go and take permission from the Lord. But Uddhava says, it won't be necessary. He's part of the conspiracy. He knows that if Gopakumar does go back to say goodbye to the Lord, he won't be able to get away. And they somehow or other, he'll become bewildered and just again be ready to stay in Dwaraka. And then they may have to go through the whole procedure again. So he says, no, it's not necessary. He says, the Lord has agreed already. In fact, he is probably going to take you there himself. Suddenly Gopakumar feels that someone picks him up and starts carrying him, but he can't see who it is. But from what Narada says, it must be the Lord. And then he finds he's back here in Sri Vrindavan Dham, at the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. Or in the same grove that he was now speaking to that Brahmin, Jana Sharma. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? The question is that, you know, maybe devotees would be able to recognize, as the devotee comes to the level of prema, the devotees would be able to recognize. So, you know, what is this point about concealing it? But the thing is that this is important. You know, it's part of humility, for one thing, not making some display of oneself. And the devotee, as the devotee is advancing towards prema, the devotee is feeling more and more humble. And actually Lord Chaitanya said that the symptom of prema, or a symptom of prema, is that the person feels that I have absolutely none of it. So therefore he will not act in such a way, or he'll try not to act in such a way, which will encourage people to think that, oh, you have prema, and tell you, you have prema. In this way, glorify you, you know, draw attention to you. Such a devotee would rather be anonymous. Yes. So therefore, it is certainly part of prema that generally, or in many cases, the devotees will go out of their way to disguise it. Even to the point was made the other day that sometimes they will act in ordinary ways just to disguise it. And you know, the thing is, if a person starts exhibiting symptoms of prema, then unqualified people will become attracted and start imitating. That's very bad. That's what happened to Lord Chaitanya's movement. Within a few generations, people were just imitating like mad. And they thought, you know, this is what you do. When you become a devotee, you join the temple. The next morning, first morning at Mangal Arati, you have to be rolling on the floor. That's standard practice. So, yeah, it's just like Krishna. When Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya, he contemplated, maybe I should appear as, like, and act as a regular avatar and do miracles and display great potencies regularly, you know? Major display of his position as God. But then he thought, no, it's Kali Yuga. If I do that, then people are going to start imitating me.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Oh, there are just two chapters left in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The notes which you have in the study guide are really, they sort of go halfway in chapter 6 and then, yeah, that's about it, about halfway. It's not really very complete at all, unfortunately. But it's very dramatic. Quite amazing how Gopakumar goes to Goloka Vrindavan and meets Krishna and enters into his eternal relationship with Krishna. Very amazing. Today we're going to attempt to go through half of that chapter. We'll see how it goes. It's a very long chapter, 380 verses. So if we can get halfway, that'd be pretty good. So there are three main sections which we're going to try to go through. They're written on the board here. First of all, Gopakumar goes there, and when he is there, he looks around and meets Krishna eventually. Then second section, Gopakumar goes with Krishna to his house. And there's some pastimes there. Then the next morning, they get ready for going out herding the cows. in their different pastimes as they prepare to go. So the last day, Narada Muni and Uddhava had been speaking to Gopikumar, and Narada Muni had told Gopikumar, you go back to Vrindavan and follow the process. You practice Vaidisadhana Bhakti, but then you try to be attached to the inhabitants of Vrindavan and how they serve Krishna, and in this way you'll become qualified to go to Goloka Vrindavan and or see Krishna in Gokula. So Gopikumar, he did that. He went back. And he wandered around the different pastime places here in Vrindavan as Narada Muni had instructed him, following the process given to him. And as a result, he became very advanced in Krishna consciousness. He began to experience the symptoms of prema, which Narada Muni had talked about, like, for example, not knowing whether he was burning in a fire, a great fire, or swimming in the cool waters of the Yamuna. We might wonder, how would it be possible to be unclear in such a situation, but that is the nature of prema. So, as a result, Gopikumar, he was experiencing all these things. It was a little bewildering, and he didn't know, am I making progress or not? Am I going to be successful or not? Even the idea entered his mind, am I being deceived by some great deceiver? Then one day in the same grove that he's in right now, speaking to the Brahman, he fell unconscious. And in that state of unconsciousness or semi-consciousness, Krishna appeared to him. The Lord came forward as Gopikumar was lying there, dazed. And the Lord wiped the perspiration from Gopikumar's forehead and very gently brought him back to consciousness. Gopikumar smelt the Lord's fragrance. It was overpowering and most amazingly beautiful. But because he was half conscious, he wasn't sure, is this real or not? So he grabbed hold of the Lord. He tried to grab the Lord's dhoti, but the Lord jumped back. So Gopikumar chased him. The Lord went behind a tree and hid. Gopikumar became bewildered and fell unconscious backwards into the Yamuna. As he lost consciousness, he felt himself being carried along by the waves of the Yamuna. The next thing he knew, he was being transported in some extraordinary vehicle past Vaikuntha, then Ayodhya, then Dwaraka. Finally, he came to Goloka. He stepped out on Goloka, and what did he see? Dadu? Anyway, he saw that it looked the same as Gokula. The people looked the same, and they were speaking the same language. Their customs were the same. So he arrived in Goloka, but he actually arrived at Mathura. That's sort of on the edge. In Mathura, he heard that Kamsa was ruling. This is now in Goloka Vrindavan. Kamsa was ruling, and he was terrorizing everyone. Recently, he had arrested Vasudeva and Devaki. And all the members of the Yadu dynasty were either hiding or had surrendered to Kamsa. So Gopakumar decided